The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined now by Bob Woodward, one of the world's most famous journalists. He's going to be in Dublin on the 10th of June for a conversation with Bob Woodward, the state of the US presidency in the Olympia Theatre, moderated by Fintan O'Toole. But he joins us now. Bob Woodward, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
Thank you.
Now, I'm fascinated by what Joe Biden had to say today in announcing his candidacy for President of the United States. He said the core values of this nation, our standing in the world, our very democracy, everything that has made America, America, is at stake. And he went on to say, we're in battle for the soul of this nation. I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and everything he embraces as an aberrant moment in history. But if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation. Given that you're the author of the book Fear, which was an extraordinary insight into the Trump White House, how much weight would you give to Joe Biden's assertions?
Well, that is, of course, a political statement by somebody who wants to take over the job as U.S. president. But my reporting for 2 years for the book showed a kind of chaos, a nervous breakdown in the Trump White House, the Trump presidency. And what I found is we have a governing crisis on all of the issues that a president has to make decisions on, in foreign policy, economic policy, immigration, trade. And Trump has these views, and there's scene after scene in my book where cabinet officers or his top aides in the White House will say, well, where'd you get that idea, Mr. President? And Trump will say, oh, I've had that for 30 years, and if you disagree with me, you're wrong. So there's a kind of rigidity, an unwillingness to listen, grow, and learn, and that can turn out to be tragic. At the same time, I don't come at this with the partisan lens at all. We have not had a new war, thank God. The economy is going along in this country pretty well, not as well as perhaps Trump thinks and hopes. So it's we've had the first 2 years of a really high-risk series of moments for the whole country. And, you know, whether Biden's or anybody on the other side, on the Democratic side, can defeat Trump, we're going to see. It's literally impossible to predict, and you can guess. But it's only a guess. Who's gonna run against Trump? Look at the last four American presidents: Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama, Trump. All 20 months before the election, you would have said all of those did not have a chance. They would not have been on a list of probable presidents. So. We're going to have to wait and see how it develops.
Indeed. And of course, the frontrunners at present for the Democrats would seem to be 270-plus men, Bernie Sanders and now Joe Biden. But it's interesting to see this week Bernie Sanders saying, or he said it last week, that if for the next year and a half all Congress is talking about is Trump, Trump, Trump and Mueller, 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 I'm not talking about the issues that concern ordinary Americans. He would worry that that works to Trump's advantage. But isn't there a strange problem here for opponents to Donald Trump? Do you let him get away with all of the things that he does, or do you try and move the agenda to something else?
Yes, well, that's, of course, tricky, and you never know what's going to happen. There could be some foreign policy crisis, economic crisis, and how Trump handles that or fails to handle it would be a big issue in the campaign. Because I'm in the media reporting business, book writing business, what I tried to do is say, how can I find out what's really going on? And what they say at press conferences, and if I walk into the White House and want to interview somebody on the record, I'm going to get BS. And so you have to develop relationships of trust with people who will give you notes and documents and an authoritative account of what really happens. And then, you know, people are going to judge. Last year, in November, we had what's called the perfect poll. In other words, it was everyone in the House of Representatives had to be elected, 435, and 10% of the seats shifted from the Republicans to the Democrats. Democrats now and Speaker Nancy Pelosi control the House of Representatives. That is a big shift, the likes of which I think we only have seen after Nixon and Watergate, after Nixon resigned. So Trump is clearly vulnerable, but you know, we're gonna see. And in 2016, people didn't think he could win, so there'll probably be a whole chorus of people saying he can't possibly be reelected, and they may be surprised.
Trump also tweeted this week, in the old days, if you were president and you had a good economy, you were basically immune from criticism. Remember, it's the economy, stupid. And he said, today I have as president perhaps the greatest economy in history. And to the mainstream media, it means nothing, but it will. Could it be right there? Is that all that the voters will actually care about, is the money in their pockets, the tax has been taken from them?
Well, some people, but the Trump tax plan actually benefited the top 1% of people in this country. And I think a lot of people are middle class people are looking around and saying, gee, where was my tax cut? And it might have been a couple of $100 a year, or it might have been actually zero. But if you look at the law, a lot of those tax cuts expire in a number of years. So and Trump's claim that this is the greatest economy ever, there are signs of that suggesting that isn't exactly right, but give him his due. It seems to be a good economy. And when I'm there, I'm going to try to talk about the problem of, in journalism and politics, people and events, they seem a certain way, and there's a conventional wisdom that gets swallowed by lots of people, and a lot of those things may turn out to not be true. And so my approach is always empirical, I hope, and tend to be a bit of an outlier and a renegade. I want to make sure I can use this word, but I wake up in the morning, my first thought is, what are the bastards hiding, whether they're Republicans or Democrats? Because everyone hides and conceals, and the question is, on what? And is it criminal? In the case of Nixon, it obviously was criminal. It's not been decided on Trump yet.
And what did you make of the Mueller report?
I think it's surprised lots of people that he found no coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia. He was kind of neutral on whether Trump interfered in a criminal way with the investigation Mueller was conducting, and Trump, as always, overstates it, but it's basically a victory for him. And as many people note, he just can't kind of pocket that victory. He is now campaigning against former aides who worked for him who gave information to that investigation.
You mentioned earlier about in relation to the media treatment of Trump. Do you think, has the media been fair to Trump, or has it been perhaps too emotional in its analysis rather than focusing on the facts?
Well, I think sometimes it's become emotional because people see the risk and the hazard we're in. But I think the job is to dig and maintain the aggressive edge. And I think by and large, reporters for my newspaper, The Washington Post and Wall Street Journal, New York Times have done this. Now, we've made mistakes sometimes, and we just have to correct them. But I've done this almost for 50 years, and the work of the major media in this country, which Trump calls fake news, actually that work is done in good faith. And I think never a perfect job, but an excellent job has been done. Now, whether it's been fair, you go to the cable news shows and you see on Fox News, a kind of adoration for Trump on CNN and another cable outlet, MSNBC. You see a universal condemnation of him, and you see emotions run high on both sides on this. I think that is less helpful to voters, and you know, that's why I try to take time and do books where I can get notes and documents and firsthand witnesses and accounts and explain what's going on.
Well, Bob Woodward, when I read Fear, I was quite shocked by some of the material that you had in the book about the way that Trump behaves in the White House, almost the bullying of subordinates, the firing of people if they didn't do what he wanted. Did it in any way shock and upset you?
Well, you know, my job is not to be shocked or upset. My job is to try to confirm, and that takes time and a certain patience and building trust with people. But some of these things are risky. For instance, top White House aides take papers off Trump's desk in the Oval Office that Trump has ordered. Draft this letter, I want to sign it and send it off, and they steal it and keep it from him so he won't initiate something that on trade agreements or top secret intelligence programs or military relations that are frightening. And I say, you look at this and it's a nervous breakdown of the executive branch of the Trump presidency, and there is, you say, it shocked you. I don't know that I'm ever going to be shocked again. When you dig into these things, and as lots of people and lots of Trump supporters have pointed out, I let Trump have his say in the book.
You did, and it's a remarkable exchange that you put in towards the end of the book. But it could it be that the real genius of Donald Trump has been his way of confronting and manipulating the media, putting himself front stage all the time, front and centre, confronting anyone with whom he disagrees, shouting them down, getting the mob in behind him?
Well, that's true, but I wouldn't necessarily label that genius. To be able to manipulate the media, which he does, and use us. I mean, he will come out and with a tweet or, you know, almost daily, and he, because the presidency has so much power, and it's such a good show. But here's the problem. I think Trump's bluster and all the tweeting and statements and attacks are a disguise, because he is basically a showman. It's about the show. It's about the get the attention of people. And the hard part in this that needs to be faced is he doesn't really care about governing. Presidents, because of their power, have visibility like no one else. But what they really do for people is they try to govern and come up with policies. And I have example after example where Trump will decide unilaterally and do things, or his top aides will try to say, you know, NATO's a good relationship. And Trump, I have the notes of one National Security Council meeting where Trump is in NATO. Why are we doing this? We're paying for the defense of all these countries in Europe. We're suckers. If we were smart, we would be so rich. And goes on. And so fine. And it's, why are we doing this? And it's the Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, retired four-star Marine general, who says, I think it's the most shocking part of the book, said, Mr. President, we are doing these things to prevent World War III. Now, that's 1 year into the Trump presidency. That's not the first week. And if you can step back and say, what's the job of the President of the United States? What's job one? To prevent World War III or some sort of nuclear exchange. And that the Secretary of Defense has to tell this to the President is frightening. And 2 months after my book came out, Mattis resigned for exactly the reasons I cited in the book.
Bob Woodward, you very much stick to the facts. You lay out the facts. That's what fear is, what many other books you've done about various presidencies since you first wrote about Richard Nixon and were a central figure in relation to investigating Watergate. But can I ask you just maybe a leap of imagination for once? And you may have been asked this by others before, but can you imagine that if Richard Nixon had had access to Twitter back at the time of Watergate, and if there had been the 24-hour cable news at the time, do you think might he and his acolytes have been able to see things out, that they've been able to fight against you and discredit you in such a way that you wouldn't have been able to get out the full story that brought him down?
Such an important question, and my answer is no, because of his secret taping system. And at that time, now 45 years ago, the system of government worked. There were investigations by a special prosecutor. The Congress investigated both in the Senate and the House, and the Supreme Court in the end ordered Nixon to turn over his secret tape recordings. And if you listen to those, and if that was out there, no tweeting or cable news network endorsing everything he does would effectively counter it, in my view. I think all of these things, and this is the case we see in Trump with this special counsel investigation by Mueller about alleged coordination with the Russians, which Mueller said he couldn't substantiate at all. That's very, very significant. These things turn on the quality of evidence. If you have the evidence, as they did in Nixon's case, eventually, he had to resign. If there is evidence or political opposition to Trump, then something's going to happen. Maybe he won't be reelected. Maybe he'll decide not to run. But we're going to have to wait.
Bob Woodward, it's been great talking to you again here on The Last Word on Today FM. Bob will be in the Olympia Theatre on the 10th of June for a conversation with Bob Woodward, the state of the US presidency. It'll be moderated by Fintan O'Toole. The tickets are available from Ticketmaster. Bob Woodward, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.